One of the more dominant issues surrounding the Trump administration and agriculture is trade, more specifically NAFTA. How important is free trade to rural communities here in Illinois, and what would a withdrawal mean for farmers?
Yeah, it's incredibly big for us. Maybe the huge, to borrow one of the president's favorite lines, but NAFTA is very important. It is a trade agreement that has incredible value to Illinois agriculture. We trade with both Mexico and Canada. A lot of finished products go to Canada. A lot of processed products from Illinois. But Mexico is our number one market for corn. And we grow a lot of corn, as you know, in Illinois. And there aren't many new demand drivers left. Ethanol, of course, has been very important to Illinois, and we have a number of ethanol plants, but we also send a lot of corn down the river, and we rail it out, we have railroads that go directly to Mexico. So very big market for us. Makes us very nervous when we hear the president, although we're used to it by now, threaten to withdraw from NAFTA. Losing that market would have major implications, not just for farmers and prices, but also for there's about 10,000 jobs associated with NAFTA in Illinois that are not on-farm jobs.
I think it was it last year, Sonny Perdue was making his stops in rural America, and I know that he came here to Illinois,
yes,
central Illinois, and that was one of the topics. I think it was clear that some farmers were showing anxiety. Did that calm any nerves or anxiety when Mr. Perdue came to town?
Yeah, it was, we wanted to thank him because, in the media reports, again, other stories that we've heard, he was critical in getting the president to pull off of his withdrawal threat in late April of last year. Happened to be in the White House. I don't know if they knew this was coming, but he had charts and graphs that he was able to point to job creation in states won by the president in the Midwest related to NAFTA. And it was, the right person at the right place at the right time for us. So, we wanted to acknowledge the role that he played in keeping us in NAFTA. Having him in the administration is very helpful, but it hasn't ended the talk and the threats as we've gone through this renegotiation. Now, I think they've had six meetings with Canada and Mexico, and so far no agreement yet.
Global prices for agricultural products have seen a continual slump really since the recession. How, if at all, could this administration change that? And is there really any indication of a better market year in 2018?
As I've sat through some projections economists, ag economists, and other market participants, and the low price scenario should probably persist, and so that's the near future that we're looking at, and for the foreseeable future, I don't see that unless there is some weather event somewhere. We've had great growing seasons here in Illinois. And of course, we want that to continue. But unless there's a major weather event, the price projections are not going to be high. They're going to be below the cost of production. And so we really do need an emphasis on trade. It would be great if the administration would get going on some of the bilateral trade negotiations that they've talked about. But those are very time consuming. It just takes a while to get through them. So I think right now we just want to hold on to what we have. Our members have been active in getting the message to the president and to their elected officials on NAFTA and the importance. I think it's widely understood by our elected officials in Illinois just how important that trade agreement is. Last year at Labor Day, though, we also had to weigh in on the Korea Free Trade Agreement. There was a a threat to potentially withdraw from it. And that's a $7 billion a year trade agreement for U.S. agricultural exports. We had no problem getting more than 1,000 of our members to contact the White House in about a day and a half to let them know that this is something, again, very important to Illinois agriculture.
One of the more positive things seen between the president and the ag community was back in April of 2017 when President Trump signed an executive order to promote agriculture and rural prosperity throughout the entire nation. What are some of the benefits of that deal, and when can rural Illinois expect to see them?
Well, I think that effort has focused on the need for more investment in rural broadband. There are parts of the state that are not particularly well served by broadband. Broadband is a catalyst for job creation. Farmers depend heavily on internet access, and with the technology that they are now using in their tractors and combines, you've got to have good connections online. There's some positives that will come out of that effort. The president announced and signed an executive order at the American Farm Bureau annual meeting in Nashville last week promoting investment in rural broadband. So getting a lot of attention, and it would be a good expenditure of federal dollars and lead to economic growth.
I could use some broadband where I live.
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere, Illinois.
Right. I hear that a lot. Yeah. And we know there are dead zones depending on what phone we have when we're driving around the state. And that's not good.
The deregulatory agenda is something that the farming community has, for the most part, championed. And it's something President Trump is obviously very proud of. How has it impacted farmers here, and what can be expected on the horizon?
That's a good question. The president has been very aggressive. The statistic that he gives is we've cut 22 regulations for every one. And that's an impressive statistic. And job creators and business owners, love to hear that. I think just as importantly, from our standpoint, we've been happy to have the opportunity to weigh in to several federal agencies over the course of the last year with our ideas on regulations, how to make processes smoother, everything from Farm Bill sign up to working with National Resource Conservation Service, to the Army Corps of Engineers. So we've had an opportunity to weigh in with all of the federal agencies. They've been very open. They've had several comment periods. USDA has had almost a rolling comment period. And my feeling is that the agencies are taking this executive order very seriously, and some things are going to change.
Now, the new tax law, I'll shift topics here. The new tax law was seen as a pretty big victory for the president and his administration. It's something he championed. But the Department of Agriculture suggests it may include some tax increases for the lower earning farmers. Has Illinois looked into the possible outcomes?
Yeah, we haven't for the state of Illinois. The American Farm Bureau did do some analysis of the tax bills as they were winding their way through the process. I don't know there was an analysis of the final bill, but 94% of farms are LLCs and S-Corps. They're pass-through businesses, and the pass-through rate was lowered, farmers were able to maintain all of their deductions, their Schedule F deductions. They can deduct the cost of their feed, seed, fertilizer. They kept a lot of what they had in the last, in the previous tax structure. In this one, there was some improvements on the estate tax. So many more farm families in Illinois won't have to spend as much money and as much time on estate plans because the personal exemption was doubled, at least for the next several years. That provision expires in 2025, but it's a little bit of relief because it does cost a bit of money to hire attorneys and accountants and set up trusts and purchase life insurance for transferring assets to the next generation. So there were some big pluses, the ability of farmers to be able to still deduct their state and local taxes paid on their Schedule F. The individual tax returns, there were some changes. The doubling of the standard deduction, I think, was very helpful to a lot of people. Again, we haven't looked at it specifically to Illinois, but in general, the American Farm Bureau analysis said farms of all sizes and at varying levels of off-farm income all saw a lower effective tax rate as a result of the new tax law.
And we just spoke about, you know, crop prices a moment ago. How much of an impact will that have on those, specifically the smaller farmers, which we see here in Illinois?
I think that, the tax relief probably comes at a very good time for farmers who are facing low commodity prices. Is it the answer? No. It's a policy that's not going to hurt the situation. Again, what we need right now are more demand drivers like trade. We've heard some good news in recent weeks about demand for ethanol in overseas in China and India, and we have a number of ethanol plants and a lot of ethanol production here in Illinois, and we know that some of those plants take full advantage of those export markets. So, it comes back to trade. We really are heavily dependent on it. It's going to be the only thing that's going to lift our prices besides some sort of horrible weather disaster somewhere.
Moving back to trade, this is a good opportunity for it. President Trump did withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and that put American beef exporters at a disadvantage in Japan. What can we expect for the beef industry moving forward?
Yeah, there was an announcement early in the new administration that China was going to begin to buy more American beef. I'm not certain how much that has increased demand. I know that Chinese are very cautious, and there were probably lots of, I guess you would say, that process is probably not particularly smooth, but it was symbolic. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, the big winners were going to be the livestock industry and primarily beef, and the Japanese have told us they're not really interested in a bilateral trade agreement. They were interested in a multilateral agreement where there was give and take across a number of commodities and with a number of countries. It may be a different story in terms of trying to negotiate a bilateral trade agreement. I don't know that we'll be able to get the same level of beef access to the Japanese market that we would have gotten under TPP. And because we did withdraw from TPP, other countries are going to fill the void, Australia, New Zealand. That was a very disappointing, again, the pullout from TPP. That was a trade deal that we strongly supported and had been talking about for a couple of years, and then the plug was pulled on it. So, we hope that the administration will prioritize a bilateral agreement with Japan if one can be had.
Now, rural America was a key demographic in helping to elect President Trump. We've seen reports that some of his economic policies may not be the best for the farming community, of which we've talked about, trade specifically. What other types of anxieties are being felt by the farming community, or is trade the predominant issue?
That would be the predominant issue. I think as we look to a new farm bill, and that debate will probably begin here soon, at least in the House of Representatives. Want to make sure that we don't lose crop insurance or see it chipped away in any fashion. I think that'll be an important issue, something that we'll be following very closely. In terms of other economic, infrastructure is very important. We're very excited about the potential for an infrastructure bill or a big effort. One of our key advantages in Illinois are our rivers and roads and railroads. If we can find a way to invest in more efficient locks and dams on the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers, that would make us more competitive compared to Brazil and Argentina in serving overseas markets. So, infrastructure is an area I think that we'd like to see some focus. We like what we've heard so far. We're waiting to see the plan, and our hope is that rural America will get a shot in the arm in an infrastructure plan. In Illinois Farm Bureau, our members in December in their policy voted to bring back the earmark. We think one of the things that's been missing in the last several years that has had an influence not only in how Congress conducts itself, but on the ability to be able to get money where it needs to go is the loss of the earmark. So we're calling for a return of the earmark. We hope it can be put to good use if it does come back or make a comeback. We hope that is something that can help improve how government functions out in Washington.